And you guys didn't know it, but that fits exactly with where we're going this morning. Except for a heart singing, hallelujah. Get up and praise the Lord. This is where we'll finish. But for those who, let me see, if you've been new in the last 5 weeks, or if you're watching online, or if you forgot that I actually do work here, my name is James. As Trevor said, I'm one of two paid pastors on staff here. We actually have 5 appointed elders from the Free Methodist Church, and we have several retired pastors. So you just got to watch how and who you talk to around here, because more than likely you're talking to a pastor. Trevor, wherever he is, I want to thank him for preaching the last 5 weeks. In the second week that he preached, I was sitting in the back, and I won't say who, but somebody turned around and said to me, "Are you ever going to preach again?" By the end of the day, you guys are going to be wishing for Trevor back. I won't say who that was. That was part of our pastoral residency with Trevor, 5 weeks straight so that he could get the feel of what it looks like to preach week after week after week. I think he did a fantastic job. I actually learned things every single week, and I don't know if I'd ever done a deep dive into 2 Thessalonians. So later when you see him, thank him for that. So now the real question comes is, after 6 weeks of being out of the pulpit, do I remember how to preach? I guess we'll see. That's right, John. Let's pray, and then we'll dive in. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we can be a people who praises you. Thank you that no matter what is going on in life, that is something that bubbles up in us, out of us, to you. And Lord, I pray that even though as we recognize we don't have much to bring you, we can bring you our lives, we can bring you our hearts, we can bring you just everything surrendered to you, and that does lead us to praise. I thank you for that. Lord, I pray this morning as we open up your scripture that you would speak. I pray that we'd have your ears, your heart, your eyes to both hear, to feel, and to see what you want us to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, if you got a Bible or a phone or iPad or however you get to God's word, if you don't, the maroon books under the seat in front of you, go ahead and open your Bible to Psalm 67. And if you don't know where that is, open to the middle. You're probably going to hit the Psalms and then either go left or right until you get 67. As you're turning there, let me ask a question. Did you ever wonder why people end the way they do? Well, that was a poorly worded question. Wow. Okay. Do you ever wonder why those who speak publicly, whether it's pastors or newscasters or radio personalities, why so often they will end the same way? You ever wonder that? No, just say yes so that I can keep going. Yeah, boy, we wonder that, James. Would you please tell us? Would you? I mean, for example, young people, you may not be even remember this, but older people who used to watch cartoons, you remember at the end of Looney Tunes, Porky Pig would come out, right? The curtains are closing. And he would, I always thought it was a dee ba dee ba dee, that's all, folks, but he was trying to say the, right, that's all, folks. Why did he have to say that? I mean, the curtains were closing. We knew the show was over, right? You ever wonder why? Okay, let's go a little bit more grown up. Anybody remember these two? Oh, yeah. Remember the show 2020? Hugh Downs and Barbara Walters, yes. Yes, Hugh Downs and Barbara Walters. This is a show I watched with my dad just about every time it was on. Anybody remember how they would sign off, how they would end? You be in touch. Wait, we'll be in touch, so you be in touch. Ringing a bell? All right, we're going to get one here. This is a participation activity this morning. All right, people asked Hugh Downs why he ended like that, and he didn't really know, but I think it was because he wanted people to write him, right? We're in touch, so you be in touch. Everybody wants a letter from a friend every now and again. Let's go back a little bit. Walter Cronkite. Yes. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Remember CBS Evening News anchor he would sign off with? And that's the way it is. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. How about his successor, not predecessor, successor, Dan Rather? Anybody? And that's part of our world. Yeah, it's ringing some bells. You ever wonder why he ended like that? Let's go modern day, okay? Lester Holt, NBC News. Does anybody still watch the news? No? You guys are probably better off. Okay. Lester Holt, NBC News anchor. Like NBC? Know how he ends? Oh, you're close. You're close. Please take care of yourself and each other. Yeah. Now you wonder, did he start saying that during the COVID pandemic because he was anchoring during that? And that would make sense. Please be kind to yourself and to others. Now, we're going to go way back. Edward Murrow. Oh, wow. That was even before my time. Just a wee bit. All right, 1950s. Huh? Goku. Was he a Koog? Really? Okay. Sweet. So you know more about him than I do. He used to sign off with maybe the most famous sign off. Anybody remember it? Oh, wow. Good night and good luck. Now, he started as a radio broadcaster during the World War II, the German Blitz. He would broadcast from the top of rooftops, so he would say good night and good luck as a way to encourage. So we know why he ended the way he did. It was to encourage people. All right, well, that game didn't work. Thank you for playing. Come back again next week. We'll have a different game. It'll be awesome. For those who have been around a while, you know that I end our sermons or our Sunday mornings with a very regular benediction. It's been nice having Trevor give a different one every week, but I've ended it basically the same way for the last 17 years. The first 11 years, it went something like, may God bless you and protect you, may smile upon you, be gracious to you, may show you his favor and give you his peace, and then I'd say amen, and you guys would respond? Amen. Oh, good. You know that part. And amen. Right? A while back, I had somebody ask me, why do you always do that same one? And I think my response would have been something along the lines of, well, it's because I watched my grandpa end the same way whenever he preached. And, you know, that would be a heartwarming, oh, how sweet, right? Now, I could also say it ties back to what God told Moses to tell Aaron and his sons to tell the people. This was the priestly blessing found in Numbers chapter 6. Verse 22 and 23, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel, you shall say to them. Now, I'm preaching from a different translation today, so the English Standard Version. Essentially, what God says is, hey, Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people like this. And then he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. That's what he said. And then God went on to say, this is why you say that. Verse 27, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Or in modern language, if you bless them with my name, I will bless them. All right, so maybe that's part of why I've used the same blessing over and over. I mean, my heart cry really is that God would bless you guys, that he'd protect you, that he'd smile upon you, and all the other things that go with that. Now, there's times that the way you end actually expands. And about 6 years ago, in fact, August 17th, 2017, so 6 years, 2 weeks ago, I got to have my benediction expand a bit. And if you're here on August 20th, 2017, and you remember this message, well done. You got a better memory than me because I can't remember what I preached 6 weeks ago, let alone 6 years, 2 weeks. So my benediction expanded 6 years, 2 weeks ago into what it is today. May God bless you and protect you. May he smile upon you and be gracious to you. May he show you his favor and give you his peace so that his way would be known on all the earth. Now, why did it expand? It expanded because of Psalm 67. Psalm 67, verse 1, begins like this. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Sounds familiar, right? It's the echo to the Abrahamic or to the Aaronic blessing. I say, may God smile on you. This translation says his face shine upon you. They mean the same thing. And if the psalmist stopped there, every single one of us would have been good. Right? Oh, I like that feel. God bless us, right? Smile on us, be gracious to us, show mercy to us. We like the feel of God giving us a warm hug. I mean, we'll even say that on our socials, hashtag blessed, right? Bless us, King of Kings. Nobody will complain if the psalmist stops there. But he doesn't. He keeps going. Verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. that your way may be known on earth. That your way may be known on earth. I always put the implied so that your way would be known on all the earth. I like that, although I don't like that, because it takes it away from, oh, God bless me, to God bless me so that something happens. It expands it out. Your grace, Lord, your blessing, Lord, your favor, your smile, do this to us so that your way would be known on all the earth. Now, the word way in the Hebrew is darkacha. I probably mispronounced it, but you guys don't know that because I said it confidently enough. It literally means way, road, distance, the journey that we're on, the manner in which it happens. So Psalm 67, verse 1 and 2 really would be saying this: God, would you bless us so that the way you want us to walk, the road that you've laid out in front of us, the distance that we need to go with you, the journey that you've put humanity on, bless us so that other people will know your way, the journey you want them to go on. Bless us so that that would be known throughout the earth. That kind of expands things, doesn't it? Bless us and protect us so that your way. And what is God's way? Can you summarize it in one word? Oh, wow, that's good. We could have you preach life, and we'd be done right now. Since I'm preaching, I'm going to keep going. All right, yeah. What is God's way? I mean, we would all, if we asked 100 people in the room, we might get 97 different answers because three of us would copy the first answer, which was really, really good. Thankfully, the psalmist lays out what God's way is, at least part of what God's way is. The psalmist says God's way is all about his saving power for all, his judgment for all, his guidance for all, his provision for all, fear of him by all, so that we will end up all praising him, which really does tie into that last song. Catch that? God's way is all about his saving power for all, his judgment for all, his guidance for all, his provision for all, fear of him by all, which leads to a praise of him by all. And that's all in Psalm 67. Listen to it or follow along in your own Bibles. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us so that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and you guide the nations upon earth. Verse 5, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. That's God's way. God's saving power for all, his judgment for all, his guidance for all, his provision for all, the fear of him by all, so that eventually all would praise him. You okay if I unpack that a little bit? Somebody say yes. Yes, thank you. Elena, you said no. That's okay. I'm just kidding. She didn't. Let's start with God's saving power for all. Verse 2, that your way would be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. When King David wrote this psalm, stories were still being told about how God had miraculously led the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. So that saving power was still like on the forefront of everybody's mind. And as David wrote this, God's saving power was still being seen very visibly amongst the Israelites from God's enemies, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, right? So when this psalm was written, people could look around and think, wow, God's saving power is tangible. It's palpable. This is like now. And when we hear this term, God's saving power, we might think of, well, maybe saving from sickness, or depression, or anxiety, or loss, or more recently, fires, or car wrecks, or boat mishaps, right? We think of the sign Jesus saves on the side of the building, or the one that somebody holds up on the side of the street. We may think of God's saving power in terms of that, like, eternal saving. I mean, oftentimes, that's what we'll think of, which is accurate. God saves us from eternal damnation to eternal life with him. Any and all these are accurate depictions of God's saving power. Now, however, when you think about God's saving power, you also have to think about who that saving power is for. And you see it in the text, that your way would be known on all the earth, your saving power among all nations. All nations. This is going to be a theme that gets repeated. So when I say, who's this for? Your response is probably going to be all nations. All right? And if it's not, say all nations really loud anyways. Not everybody is going to accept this saving power from God, but it's available to all. It doesn't matter your race, your color of skin, what language you speak, your ethnic identity, your social identity, where you were born, where you lie down, what continent you've spent your days on. When I, at the end of a message, at the end of a sermon or a Sunday, pray that God will bless you and protect you, it's so that, because of that, God's saving power would be known on all the earth. That's pretty good, huh? I'm going to keep going. When you hear the benediction with the giant so that at the end of it, it includes God's saving power, but it also includes his judgment. Verse 4, A and B, the first two lines, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity. Kind of weird to say, I want God to bless you so that you and everybody out there will know that he judges. Right? And when I say he judges, I mean, I've been just shivering at that all week, and hopefully a couple of you squirmed. God is a God who judges. It's in here. We can't write it out. I mean, somebody would argue, well, the Old Testament was a God who judged, and the New Testament is a God of love. Well, Jesus said you're going to be held account for every word you speak. Type of judgment, right? And I'm sure that we each have our favorite judgment verse, don't we? Maybe. I mean, we could pick verses of judgment. No, don't quote your favorite judgment verse. Oh, but you have one. Okay. So often as believers, so often as a church, big C church, that's what people lead off with, God's judgment. Somebody said I was gone last week. They were right. I was gone. I was driving back from Seattle because Saturday night, Abby and I went to an Ed Sheeran concert. If you don't know who that is, that's okay. It was just a concert. It was a really big concert, and outside of Lumen Field, there was the guy with the placard and the signs, and Candy, you know the guy. He's always out there, whatever event it is, on his megaphone talking about God's judgment. And he threw in God's salvation too, but he's always there. That's what so often people think about when they think about people of faith. And we try and, I'm saying this properly, we try and scare the hell out of people, right? Or scare hell out of people talking about God's judgment. We would go like Isaiah 66:16, and it's got to be said in like this scary voice. The Lord will punish the world by fire and by his sword. He will judge the earth, and many will be killed by him. How's that for a good one to lead off with when you're wanting to introduce somebody to Jesus? This idea of God being a smite me, almighty smiter God, I don't think this is the heart behind what David's writing about when he talks about God's judgment. I actually think when he mentions God's judgment, it means putting things right. Let that sink in. By God's judgment, I think King David means putting things right, how they were originally meant to be. Maybe a couple of examples will help with this. Anybody ever been around a kid that needs to be punished? Yep, I got some, amen. Got some feedback on that one. You know, punishment could also be deemed as judgment. It's harsh language, but ultimately, when a kid does something wrong, says something wrong, the parent, without maybe saying it as calmly as this, but is saying, look, the way you just acted, the way you just talked, it isn't the way that we can live in our fullest life. It isn't the way things are supposed to be, so I'm going to discipline, I'm going to judge you so that we can put things back the way they're supposed to be. Does that make sense? A little bit? If not, another example. I got summoned to be on jury duty again. Oh, I get summoned like so often. I actually made it all the way to the jury about 10 years ago, and I was on the jury with longtime First Church member Corrine Erdman. We tried all we could to get off the jury. I mean, it was one of those, hey, I'm her pastor. We talk all the time. We drove here together. They still put us both on the jury, all right? And we got to see a vocational judge pass judgment on somebody after the verdict came back from the jury as guilty. Now, did this vocational judge, did he get an adrenaline rush? Does he have a sadistic desire to punish people? No. He leveled a judgment in order to correct the defendant's behavior to set society back in the way it was supposed to be. That making sense? So when David mentions God's judgment, I see him saying God's wanting to put things right, and he has to make some corrective movements. And he does that for who?
All peoples.
Us and all peoples. That's in the text, right? For you judge the peoples, and this is maybe the best part, with equity, equally. He doesn't judge his chosen people more lightly, and then judge those who stayed home to watch college football today more harshly. He doesn't judge those who are in eight different small groups and can memorize half the Bible more lightly than those who go fishing on a Sunday. Right? God judges all people with equity. I don't like the idea of God judging. I don't. But I like the fact that he judges people equally. All right? I'm glad he's equitable. See, Trevor, I stumble with my words too. We all just laugh at it. Equitable. All right. We're looking at the big so that at the end of every Sunday that I'm here. It's so that God's saving power would be known, and so that God's judgment would be known. And some of y'all looking at your clocks like, right now, Trevor would have been done. That's right. He would have. I'm going to keep going. May God bless you and protect you. What you're thinking, is he giving us a benediction? No. May he smile upon you, be gracious to you. May he show you his favor and give you his peace so that his way would be known on all the earth. And we're looking at what that way is. We've seen it involves God's saving power. For those who are filling out the kids' bulletin, these are all the blanks. It shows God's judgment for all. And next, it shows God's provision. Excuse me, his guidance. His guidance for who? All nations. Still in verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. You guide the nations upon the earth. It's the nations that God's guiding. See this pattern? All nations. God is the author of life, the direction giver, the map maker, the compass setter. He's the one that already knows what tomorrow's going to hold because he's already there. All right? So if he's saying, I got a feeling you should go this way because it's going to land you in the place that I want you to go, it's because he already knows where he wants us to go and he knows what the outcome's going to be. Anybody like getting lost? A little bit. I saw that. You're like, sometimes, yeah, but if you're driving and you get lost, it's not fun. I may have told this story before, just grin and nod if you've heard it, and if you haven't, then it's a great story. 26-ish years ago or so, before Abby and I were married, we went together to my cousin's wedding. We were driving back from Oregon, and we were driving through the Tri-Cities. For some reason, she was driving through the Tri-Cities, and this was before they had their road system all worked out really nicely. And I was guiding with MapQuest, not on a cell phone, because that was before those days, right? When you print off 15 different sheets of paper and you're following it along. You know that. We still do that? That's okay. All right, so we're driving through the Tri-Cities, and I seriously had her take the wrong exit 3 times in a row. Not on purpose. Like, this is the way we're supposed to go. And the volume in the car kept getting louder and louder, and we had no kids there. It was intense fellowship. Finally, after taking the wrong exit for the 3rd time in a row, she pulls over on the side of the road, gets out, comes and opens my door. You drive. That's the last time she and I drove. Like, that's the last time she ever drove through the Tri-Cities when we were in a car together. All right? You know how many times it took us to get through Tri-Cities while she was guiding? Once. You know why? Because she'd been there before. Like, she knew how to get home. God's been there. God knows where we need to go, and he guides not just his people. The text says he guides the nations. So when I ask God to bless you and protect you, it's so that those out there somehow can know to be guided by God. Still tracking with me? All right. Here we keep going. We ask God to bless us, to be gracious to us, to smile on us, because part of His way being known is His provision. That's part of His way. Providing. We see this in verse 6. The earth has yielded its increase. The earth has provided. You know, we think of the Apostle Paul saying, "My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That's part of God's provision. I want to speak specifically to God providing food. All right, Psalm 81, verse 10, the psalmist says, "I, the Lord, am your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." Anybody got plans for lunch? Yeah, it's because we have enough food here in the West. We absolutely do. And some of you may be thinking, wait, James, you're saying that God provides for everybody, and yet we see those commercials late at night with the kid from the other country with a distended stomach because they don't have food to eat. Next week, we're going to hear about kids in Spokane who don't have enough food on their tables over the weekend, so we get to take part in that. So how can I say God wants to provide for everybody when there's a food shortage? There isn't a food shortage. There isn't. A study done in 2012 by a couple of universities showed that in the previous two decades, so that would have been the 1990s and the 2000 to 2010s, and it's still accurate today, the global food production rate has increased faster than the global population rate. The world, this study found, produces more than 1.5 times enough food to feed everyone on the planet. God's provided already. So it's not a scarcity issue. It's a distribution issue. And the church ought to be on the forefront of making sure that God's provision is out there for everyone. God bless you and protect you so that God's provision may be known. Now we get to the last verse in this, verse 7. Fear of the Lord. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. This is one of those words that it means awe and amazement and you're just the profoundness of who God is. It's not like fear that He's going to come out and smite you, a mighty smiter. We've already touched on that. That's the correcting mechanism of God. Proverbs 9, verse 10, what of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, we see this all over the place. It says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Part of God blessing and protecting and smiling upon us is so that those out there would know the type of God that we serve and realize, wow, that's a mighty God. I want to submit my life to Him as well. This is part of your way being known, is the understanding of who God is. All right? So at the beginning, I talked about God's way is all about, let me see if we can remember them without looking, God's saving power for all, God's judgment for all, God's guidance for all, thank you, God's provision for all, so that all may fear Him, which ultimately leads to a praise of God. If you missed that when we read it through, verses like verse 3, "Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you." Who? All the peoples. Verse 4, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy." Verse 5, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." You guys like praising God? Yeah, I mean, this is one of the few churches that I'll visit where I actually can hear the congregation singing back. So praise and song, for some people, that's like fantastic. Now, others are going to praise God as they take a walk in the rain after church, which is great. Others are going to praise God as they serve the needy, as they stand up for justice. Wouldn't it be great if the nations could join us in praising God? Or if we could join the nations in the way they praised God? Wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be fantastic. Now, we're talking about the way people end. A lot of church services will end by singing the doxology. You guys know that? I mean, words are up on the screen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right? That's what we should be striving for. Praise all creatures here below. Can you sing this? This isn't the end. You guys keep thinking he's ending now. Let's sing this like we mean it from the very beginning. Praise God from I got to throw the amen in there because it wouldn't be complete if we didn't. Wouldn't you love for the nations, all people to be able to join us in praising God? I mean, the lyrics of that, praise God, all creatures here below. This is the all peoples that we've been looking at. And we're going to praise Him because we understand and know more of God's way. And we're going to understand more of God's way because God blesses us and protects us and smile upon us and be gracious to us. And when God does that to us and we in turn do that to those out there, God's way is known and it leads to praise. How are we asking God to treat His people? I mean, it's how I end. God, I want you to bless and protect. God, I want you to smile and be gracious. God, I want you to show favor and peace. And I want to do that. I want you to do that to us so that your way would be known, not just to us, because if you're sitting here, you probably know God's way, but to those out there. Oh, we've got a task ahead of us. Love that. Lester Holt, please take care of yourself and each other. He's onto something. It's not just about us. It's about us and the other. So now, you know why I end the way I do. And in just a moment, I'm going to end like that. And this time it's for real. And you can leave after that. But first, I want to pray. Lord God, I thank you for this group of people, both those that are in person, those that are watching online, those that will watch later, those that are out camping. I thank you that I get to walk life with this people as we walk life with you. And God, I do thank you that at the end of every Sunday that I give a benediction, I get to ask for your blessing and your smile and your protection and your grace. Because Lord, when I ask that, I mean it. I want that for this people. But I want it for this people so that your way is going to be known on all the earth. Because ultimately, Lord, I want the party in heaven to be bigger than it is now. Lord, help us both carry this weight, feel the weight of this weight that we carry, but also remind us that as we carry this weight, you're actually the one pulling the way. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.